So now we're going to read a letter that Avinu, as if Avinu wrote this to us. Page 213 in the Shalom. Elecha mekoravi v'talmidi ayakar, to you, the one that, my close one and my dear student. Kore ani u'makesh lecha, I'm calling you and I'm asking you. Atzor na lirgayim sfurim. Stop, please, for a few moments. Hakshev etev edvarai, and listen carefully to my words. Listen to what Rabbeinu is saying to us. Medaber ani l'tovatcha nitzchit. I'm talking for your eternal benefit. Da lecha, you should know. She'arbe avoda hayta li lifnei shekirbticha. A lot of work, a lot of effort I put in to get you close. Me'at tuchal la'avin u'la'argish kama nisim na'asu lecha nitzkarev. A little bit, you'll be able to understand how many miracles were done to you in order to get close to me. ובכן, אחד מהתנאים שבהם אני מקרב אני את מקורביי, one of the ways, one of the conditions that with these I get my close ones close to me, הוא שלא ייתנו לאחרים שירמו אותם. First thing, you shouldn't give others to deceive them. Deceive, yeah? ולא ירמו הם את עצמם. They shouldn't deceive themselves. Shouldn't dupe themselves. כבר שמעת זה רבות וגם הבנת. You heard this many times. And you also understood. שעיקר הצעתי ודרכי, my main advice, my main way, שעל ידי אפשר לקבל את כל תיקוני, that through it you can receive all of the fixed things that I do to your soul. לתקן את הכל, to fix everything. ולהגיע למה שאפשר להגיע, and to reach what a person can actually reach in this world, הוא רק התבודדות. It's only, Rabbeinu is saying this, it's only התבודדות. שיקבה האדם לעצמו מקום מיוחד, a person should set himself a special place, Ezra, like you always say, שיוכל להשיח שם את ליבו לפני השם יתברך, that he'll be able to speak out his heart over there to Hashem. ולבקש על כל הדברים שצריך ברוחניות וגשמיות, and he'll be able to ask over there and all the things he needs spiritually and physically. ולהתבדות על כל הדברים שפגם ושוגג ומזיד, and to confess on all the things that he blemished willfully or unwillfully. באונס וברצון, כן? באונס forcefully, ברצון willfully, ולהודות להשם יתברך, and to thank Hashem על כל הטובות הרוחניים והגשמיים and all the spiritual and physical benefits. זאת פעלתי אצל הקדוש ברוך הוא. I worked this out with Hashem. Rabbeinu says שהאדם הזה, that this man שיקיים את זה במשיתות גמור, that will fulfill this simply, לעמוד כל יום שעה לפני Hashem יתברך, to stand every day an hour in front of Hashem בתפילה, with prayer, אף שאין לו בעת הזאת שום התעוררות, even though he doesn't have at that hour any arousal, any, doesn't feel anything, any connection to Hashem, אף אם לא יוכל לדבר שום דיבור, even if he can't even talk anything, nothing, blocked, רק זאת שיכריח עצמו לחשוף לדבר לפניו יתברך, even the fact that he's forcing himself to want Hashem, to want to talk to Hashem, to stand in front of Hashem, he's get a call to, he'll merit all the best. ולא יעליו שום דין למעלה, he won't have any judgment from above. כי בזאת יתוקן הכל. With this Eitzah, everything will be fixed. נפשו, רוחו ונשמתו, his נפש, רוח ונשמה, בכל העולמות תלויים בו, and all the worlds which depended on him, מזמן אדם הראשון, from the days of אדם הראשון, ועד ביאת גואל, until משיח comes. דבר הזה הוא אמת ויציב וקיים. This thing is true. It's יציב. It's קיים. What that means in English. והרב אני אקח, and I'm guarantee this. אלה חתום, signed by רבי נחמן מברסלב. וגם הבטיח הרבי, and also the rabbi promised, שהוא פעל אצל השם יתברך, שמי שיעשה כל יום שעה יתבודדות, the person who will do an hour יתבודדות, הוא יאריך ימים עד גמר התיקון שלו. He'll have a long life until the end of his tikkun. Doesn't mean he's going to live till he's 100 years old. He finishes tikkun at 40, great. 50, 60, 80, whatever Hashem gives him. Okay? But you will finish a tikkun in this world. If you do an hour every day, you'll finish a tikkun in the world. לכן, כל מי שרוצה הבטחה לאריכות ימים, anyone who wants a guarantee for a long life, that every day will be long, like Rabbeinu teaches, והבטחה שלא לראות פני גיהנום, and a promise not to see the face of Gehenom, אלא להיכנס ישר לגן עדן, only to go straight to Gan Eden, but just to say that we will need the mikvah, Na'al Dinur, just to clear out all the smell of Alamad, like the story with the Bain's biggest student. And furthermore, many promises, many sgulot. Sheyase bechol yom shayit boledut bli shum chokhmot. Person has to do 1 hour boledut every day without any chokhmot. Bain said an hour. Doesn't mean an hour. Maybe it means a time period, which is called an hour, isn't that 60 minutes, 50 minutes? They're called chokmas. I better say do an hour simply. I don't have any toes, be to Torah. Simply, you stand in front of Hashem, don't do anything, okay? Say Arini Mekasher, sound like an idiot like that, and say thank you and leave. No. Simply. Afterwards, say thank you and go. Oh. And ask Hashem that tomorrow also you'll stand here like an idiot, okay? Do you stand in front of Hashem? What do you care? We always say the mashal, Rabbeinu thing brings down, that there was a factory, that the work was to fill these barrels of water. The problem was that the barrels had holes in them. So they filled them up, and they all emptied out. They filled it up. Rabbeinu said that the smart ones continued filling them up. The idiots left. Right? Why does the smart ones was the stupid ones? The smart one said, what do I care? I get a paycheck at the end of the month, I'm staying here. The stupid one says, well, what's the point of doing it for no reason? I'm not doing it. The shugah, they're giving you money. What do you care what this job is? That's Hashem's problem if your ibadah is not working out. You go to do ibadah. Do your job in the world. Hashem gives you a paycheck. What do you care if it works out? It doesn't work out. You go do an hour. Hashem said, do an hour ibadah. Hashem said this. טוב, לומדים להתבודד, אתם לא יודעים להתבודדות. צריכים לדעת, we have to know, שתחילה בראש לכל דבר, the first thing, first of all, צריך שירגיל אדם את עצמו לעשות שעה התבודדות, יהיה שיהיה. First thing has to get himself used to doing an hour, regardless of what the situation is. I'm doing an hour, Rabbi says do an hour, I do an hour. It works out, doesn't work out, I'm able to talk, I'm not able to talk, it's a busy day, it's a lazy day. I'm doing 60 minutes of Baladut. With people around me, without people around me, 60 minutes I'm going to do. Look, Patrick, I don't talk with anyone, I'm talking with Hashem. Break it up, not break it up. The 60 minutes I must do. I'm not going to leave a day without 60 minutes I was with Hashem. Once a person is used to doing 60 minutes, אז יוכל להעמיק בה, then he can go deeply into it. הוא לא הוסיף עוד מהדרגות, העבודות, then he can go through into it, into doing חשבון נפש, and doing... First, he learned how to do 60 minutes. He's going to do it, then he stands in front of Hashem. לכן, therefore, בפרק זה נלמד הדרך הקלה ביותר. In this chapter, we're going to learn the easiest way how a person will get himself used to doing this wonderful advice of an hour he's going to do. In this chapter, we're going to learn. Okay? I remember myself when I was this book is not in English, Satan. Okay. This is not in English.
I know.
Yeah, we're learning it here. I guess not chance.
Working with.
Yeah? This book I've written. Yeah, so I remember myself when I started doing our Bollywood, all I dabbled on. The only thing I daven is to do an hour ibadut. That's all I daven for. The whole hour, I said, thank you Hashem that I'm doing an hour. And I daven and I'm going to do a whole hour because I didn't do an hour in the beginning. It's only 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And only I daven only on that. Till I'm going to do an hour. And after a while, when I did already an hour every day, then I do cheshbon nefesh, then suddenly Hashem again threw me off of it. So then again, I only daven and do an hour. Until if I do an hour. If again Hashem will throw me off, I'll only daven and do an hour. Because I know that's where the tikkun is. Do, and I always believe it. Do. That's what a person has to get used to. Hashem will throw you up. So daven only do an hour. Don't daven anything else. Don't daven in Shalom Bayis. Don't daven Shmiat Abri. Don't daven in Simcha. Don't daven anything. Daven do an hour, because that will be again everything. That's everything already. Rabbeinu says, right? Ma'ala Elyona Gdola Min Hakol. It's higher than anything. Reshit Naskir. First of all, we remind everyone. Shahidbodudut davar ashaveh lechol nefesh. Hidbodudut is equal to anyone. Everyone can do hidbodudut. Mikatan v'ad gadol, the smallest one in age or in level, or in dalga, whatever it is, until the highest, can do an hour hidbodudut. Ve'en adavar mugbal lebalei madriga. It's not only for people on a high level. Is that what you're leaving, Natan? You're going?
About 2:45.
If I don't see you, have a safe trip.
Thank you.
I shall merit to see you here with your family, Zad Hashem.
Thank you.
Rak, or Rak Yudah Seva, or someone who's learner, he learned Torah, no. El Akol Echai, people in jail in the lowest places, people in Africa or in I don't know where, in the Chofim of Thailand. I don't know if you want to be in Thailand these days. I heard there's a whole palagan over there.
Yeah,
there's a mafikha. Wherever it is, even the simplest person who just began knowing that there is Hashem in the world. I have a great story for you soon. Kulam yecholim inhog banagazo ulagi aledan malot amot. Anyone, everyone, can do this thing. If it will do this hanaga, and to reach through it the highest levels. So, את ההתבודדות צריכים לעשות בשפה שרגילים בה. ההתבודדות is needed to be done in a language that you're used to talking. If you're talking in English, do it in English. If you're talking Yiddish, do it in Yiddish. Speak Russian, do it in Russian.
Spanish,
but don't do it in a language which, oh, it's the holy language I'll speak. That's not a shul. That tefillah, kreshma, drakat amazon, shmones, that's inyanim in Russian HaKodesh. But when you talk with Hashem, talk in a language that you're comfortable to pour out your heart.
Between two languages, you go from one
to another. Yeah,
I
speak in English.
Pour out the heart.
I sometimes say in English, sometimes in Hebrew, sometimes in Yiddish. Whatever comes out, I say. That's whatever I feel comfortable now saying. Then a person can talk to Hashem whenever it comes out of his heart. Yeah? Also, sometimes you can take a pasuk and you meditate on it, you say it many times, and it causes your heart to open.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm not saying not to. But not that they, oh, I have to say it like this, I have to do like that. You both do this conversation. Okay? So, yeah, people grew up in Chutz La'aretz. Right, they start davening, they start speaking in Hebrew. The kasha mishnah, the lashon hakodesh, the kasha. Right, that's what the Hebrew has to be in your own language, and that way your person can express all that's on his heart. And tomorrow we'll continue and have a great story for you. Now, lichvod yom Yerushalayim. I don't know if the where your neighbors they gave this out. They gave out this. I don't know in my neighborhood. They gave out this magazine. It's usually feel somewhat, all kinds of advertisements, but they had an article in there, beautiful story, for Yom Yerushalayim. It's not today Yom Yerushalayim, today is Chafe. Chafchet is on Yom... When is Chafchet? Yom Revi'i? Chafchet is Revi'i. Chafchet is Revi'i. Yeah, right. Chafchet, Yom Revi'i is Yom Yerushalayim. It will be, how many, 41 years? 1967. How many years? 46 years?
Mm-hmm.
40? 47 years? 47 years, right? Tavshin Chof Zayin. 47 years it will be. That Hashem gave us back most of it, which wasn't in our hands. A lot of it is already not in our hands. And we hope Hashem leaves it in our hands. I'm going to give David Amir to the poop. And all kinds of stuff like that, Gush Katif, all Sinai, a lot of Chevron, a lot of, was given already back to Goyim. We didn't have the zchut to hold on to it. At least we could still go down in the Kotel. So this is a great story. There was, in those days, there wasn't, the movement of tshuva was very, 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 very young. Shlomo Kalbach, he started the movement big time in the Rebbe Rayatz and the Rebbe Lubavitch Rebbe in America, but in Eretz Yisrael, till Six-Day War, more or less, it was very anti-religious. Now today is not, but today a lot of tshuva. Those days there's hardly any tshuva. There was a guy from Kibbutz Ganya, it's a true story, from Kibbutz Ganya. And Kibbutz Ganya is one of the kibbutzim on the Kinneret.
The first kibbutz?
Ganya Aleph, Ganya Bet. Very Zionist, very anti-religious, a lot of Holocaust. Holocaust survivors also were there. Very anti-Hashem. There's no Hashem. No Hashem exists. Nothing. Kidomash, kofrim. Hashem, at least they wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's already a good thing. But there's a guy who grew up there in the kibbutz. And it was already right before his shichruv. His, how do you say shichruv from the army?
Release from the army.
Release from the army.
Leaving
the army. So, and he's sitting there and he's thinking to himself, he's leaving the country forever. Once he gets his release paper, he's buying a ticket, going to Chutzlaretz, and he's forgetting of this country. He had enough of this place. Like a lot of youngsters, go check. I was around the world, I saw them. Anyways, he's sitting there and then he sees soldiers from the Syrian, you were able to see them from the Golan Heights. Mm-hmm. They were shooting women working in the field in the Ganya. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, the person that was in charge of the kibbutz came over and told him, 15 minutes, the jeep is coming to pick you up. A war broke out. There's a war between Syria. In the beginning, it was just Egypt and Syria. Egypt first and Syria. Afterward, Jordan also joined. And okay, he goes, he couldn't find his uniforms up in the closet. His mother put it away, he thought he's finished with this. Puts on the uniform, his mother runs in. No, you're not going, there's a war, my pitom. You're my only son, and we're Holocaust survivors. And his father comes in and says, my pitom, you're going to the war. Of course you're going anyways. Jeep comes, of course, picks them up. They go to Tel Aviv. From Tel Aviv, they send them to Yerushalayim. Where to? Chof Strauss over here, there's a big binyan istadrut, big building. Very ugly building over here. It's ugly because it looks and because it's used. Ugly from all directions. If you look at it, it's very ugly. And that's where they were getting together. Fine, the commander tells them, he's giving them a tadrich. How is tadrich? Before you go out to battle, he tells them how
to.
A what?
Briefing.
A briefing before they go out. He tells them tonight, we're going to conquer the Kotel. So him and his two friends from the kibbutz. Him, his name is Yaron, and his friend is Erez. True story. So they look at him and says, "Amefaked, what is the Kotel?" So the friend says, "Well, you don't know. It's the wall of the Beit Hamikdash." "Amefaked, what is Beit Hamikdash? These are Israelis who grew up here in this country. Today, I think most people know about the Kotel, but they know this 47 years ago." Mamash, nothing.
Capturing children.
Mamash. The parents decided to cut it off and they cut it off and he's 22 years old, doesn't know anything. So if I get down, what? Beit HaMikdash is the place where according to the tradition, the Jews served God. They served Elohim.
What's
that? So says, Elohim? There is such a thing as Elohim? Because in the kibbutz they were saying, there is, there isn't. There is such a thing, really? So if I get down, listen, there's no time now to talk about this. This, you have to go in to they were planning on going to Shara Rayot. At the end they went to Shara Tzion, whatever it was. I don't think they broke into Shara Shpot. What? In Shara Tzion they broke in.
Shara Shpot is it's closed off, that's right.
Yeah, it was closed. It was yeah. Maybe some from Shara Rayot and from Tav
and
Shara Tzion. Yeah. And the Shara Tzion are the first ones I got it. Got
it. It's still full of holes.
Came from the shooting scene. So anyways, you're going to go in, and you have to search for the Kotel, for the wall, ancient wall, 3,000 years old, or whatever, 2,000 years old. So he tells the Fakir, I don't understand, we're risking our lives. There's plenty of old walls in here, what do you want with the wall? It's a true story. Listen, this is the orders, this is what we're using. So, fine, give it. After he tells them, and they heard the shofar blowing, because they were right near Mea Shearim. So they asked the commander, what is this? So the commander said, it's the Haredim over here, they're blowing the shofar, they're praying. So this Yaron, he tells the Mefaked, the commander, I want to go check it out. You know, again, we're going to kill ourselves for nothing, for this old war. Let me go check out what are they doing there, the Haredim. I always hear on the radio, I see on the TV, that they always do balagan. Who are they? I don't know who they are. I want to see them from school. I want to meet them. I never met them. From the kibbutz, they never come. I don't know who they are. I want to meet them. So the commander says, go ahead. So he goes into Mea Shearim, to Chavav Mea Shearim, right near the Shtiblach over there. And he sees a lot of Jews with black, and they're saying Tehillim, crying. And he says, my father always taught me only women cry. I don't know. Everyone's crying over here. What's going on here? And he sees everyone's crying. And then there's an old man standing on a box, and he's trying Yidden, speaking to Hashem. In Yiddish, happened. Yiddish happened. In Hebrew, that he hardly understood. And he wanted to ask. He said, "But they're talking to someone. There is a God. They're talking. There is a God. They're talking. It looks like they're talking to someone. Or they're talking to themselves. What's going on here?" And he was embarrassed to ask. The uniform and everything. And then he sees a little kid. 7-year-old, so innocent, so beautiful. And comes up to the kid and he asks him, "Echo Lumlecha?" So the kid says, "Who's?" Because he used to know, today, most kids 7 years old, they know more or less Hebrew. They can understand Echo Lumlecha.
Because you'd be surprised.
In some places, it depends where, which communities, but some, today they know a lot more than they used to know before, 50 years ago. But still, today, even not everyone knows. My son told me that more or less they understand your Hebrew. Even if he knows. But this kid has a voos. He says, "Ech korim lecha?" The voos doesn't understand what he's saying. Then he motions to him, Yaron. He gets the kid chaps. He tells him, Yoeli. He says, "What? Who are they talking to?" And he gets through him and he says, "Ribbono shel olam." Then his mother realizes that he's talking to a Zionist soldier, and she screams, "Yoeli!" And she runs down and grabs him. He runs to talk to Zionist soldier. He was explaining to his mother that, no, he's asking what's going on, what are we doing here? Because he understood that they're doing something for the war, but didn't understand exactly what's going on. Anyway, so his mother understood that it wasn't Stam. So she turns to him and she says, "Titpalel, titpalel." And then they go. And he says, "Titpalel, how do you do that? What do you do? What's tefillah, titpalel? What do you do? How do you do mitpalel?" And they disappear. He goes back to his unit and he's sitting in the jeep. It's nightfall. And he writes a letter to his parents because that's what they used to do. Maybe he's going to fall in the battle. He doesn't know. So he writes the last letter to his parents. He's here to tell a story, so he obviously didn't die. Yeah, but he writes the letter and they wrote it. It's all in English, but I read it all in English. And he writes the letter and he says there, he tells his parents, "I'll never forgive you for taking away from me the free choice, free choice. You never told me to say maybe there is a God, maybe there isn't a God. I'll never forgive you for this. Thank you for all the years what you gave me, but Tamash, you are such a beautiful, innocent world, and you're hiding this all from me." Anyways, and he puts the letter in his bag. If he dies, in fact, if he dies, his friends will see it and give it to his parents. And then he's sitting in the car, he's crying. For lack that he's felt the whole year, all the years. And then he feels a knock on the window. And he's looking and he sees the little kid, Yoeli. He found him, his parents' mother sent him to look for him. And he opens the door and says, "Yeah, we went." So he gives him a sitter. He says, "My mother said, Titpalel, Titpalel." He gives him a sitter that you can fold. It's like, they used to have them in Tafshin. It's like a plastic cover. You can fold it. So he tells him, "Titpalel, Titpalel." And then he asks him for his name. He says, "Yaron Ben." So he says, "Slimishtai." Ben is also how old you are. He didn't know Ben, that he davened for someone, his mother's name. So he says, "Slimishtai." No, Aima, Aima. This is Kineret. Kineret? Vus? Vus Idos? Kineret is a name? His mother is a Holocaust fellow. I mean, she changed her name, but he writes, Yoroin ben Kineres. He said, Adaran for you. And he goes, disappears, never sees him again, the kid. He takes a sitter, folds it, and puts it in his, his pocket. And they go out to battle. And they break through the, they went through Shah Aliyot, he's not from Shah. And here it's alleyways, through Shah Aliyot, a lot of alleyways. Through Shah Tzion is duch, straight to the Kotel, anyone knows, he goes on the road where the parking lot is, he goes straight to the Kotel. He went through Shah Tzion, through Shah Aliyot, through the alleyways, they're looking, suddenly he hears his friend got shot, Erez from the kibbutz, he was killed. And he's thinking to himself, Ribbono Shel Olam, not Ima, Ribbono Shel Olam, don't scream Ima, what are you screaming Ima for? Only Ribbono Shel Olam, that's what he has on his head, Ribbono Shel Olam, Ribbono Shel Olam, Ribbono Shel Olam. And they run through and they reach the Kotel. And friends, a few friends died, I think 36 or something died in the old city on the way to capture the Kotel. Hashem, only 36. And they reach the Kotel. And then the soldiers, some of them were crying, some of them were like, what are we doing here? Like, what's this wall? Like, a lot of kibbutzim also. And then the Yesh Elokim, and Elokim, and he takes out the sitter, and there's a bullet in the sitter by his heart. The sitter that the boy gave him was in his heart. By his heart, the bullet in the sitter, and he says, Yesh Elokim. And the war ends, he goes back to the kibbutz. A few days later, he goes back to Yerushalayim. Couldn't find the kid. So he went to Yeshiva and did tshuva. What a story. Beautiful, beautiful story. I thought to share it with you.
Another one from Gedalia. Back in the days of Rabbi Yitzchak and Rav Kook and Razon, they used to go together to give some Divrei Torah in Moshavim and Kibbutzim from the Chilunim.
Yeah.
They got to the Gedalia, and there was somebody there was always throwing barbs.
Barbs?
Matzukot. Matzik.
Yeah.
And Rav Kook after a while said, okay, I see you not interested in this. Let's change the subject a little bit. So as chief rabbi, people come to me from all over the world with things to do with Eretz Yisrael. There's this, a multi-millionaire from Sweden has made me an offer. She wants to buy the wall. At that time we still had approach to what was still during the time of the British.
Yeah.
The minute I had approach, she's willing to buy the wall. She's going to give $5 million, which in those days is like $500 million today. Plus, she'll pay for the engineers to take it apart, ship it to Sweden, and reassemble it there as a tourist attraction for the whole world. With that money, I can buy you all the cows, horses, barns, equipment, a cream of chocolate that you can get. What do you guys think about that? I'm going to Ganya with it. And he was looking around, and this guy was throwing all the barbs and says, are you crazy? It's the heart of the Jewish nation. You want to sell it to some Swedish? 40 years later, 34 years later, this same one, the Chuvadi, sued in court the kibbutz to build him a kosher kitchen and a bet knesset.
In the kibbutz?
In the Gadya.
Today there's a shul.
Yeah, that's what
I've been there.
I came from that one little small.
Shakar, shakar.